Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PM Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. For all those people that might be new, because this is a new segment, I started Building Fortunes Radio back towards the tail end of 2012, beginning part of 2013, because one of the things that I wanted was a microphone and a platform to be able to talk about some things. By coincidence, probably only, around that same time, I was starting to learn about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency and blockchain and a lot of other subjects that a lot of other people were starting to learn about. And I realized that I kind of saw it right away, even though I didn't understand it. So I was forcing myself to learn while, quite honestly, everybody else was learning as well. So I was always intrigued with that subject. Well, tonight we start a radio show with a gentleman. His name is Robbie Campbell, and we're going to call it Crypto Talks Show, or The Crypto Talk Show. And the reason why we're going to be calling it that is because we're going to be talking about a lot of things related to cryptocurrency. And there's a lot of you, if I'm talking to you, that are listening in that know a lot about cryptocurrency, but it's an ever-changing world and you want to keep up to date. There's also a lot of people that don't know anything, more or less, about cryptocurrency, and I will share with you, if you don't know and aren't applying, you might, or probably, if I'm being polite, be holding yourself back. There are opportunities beyond measure in understanding what's happening in the blockchain slash cryptocurrency slash Bitcoin related worlds that you just want to know about. And you need a friendly person to be able to tell you that isn't necessarily shilling a special product or a special whatever. You need somebody to just be able to trust to be able to give you good information. And if you want to work with them, you'll be able to do that. And that's what I had found with Robbie. I met Robbie through a friend of ours. His name is Jim Morse. Jim Morse has been a customer of mine over at the PM marketing side for a long time, a decade maybe, maybe even more. We've been in business for over 20-some-odd years. Jim has been around with me for a long period of time and is really intrigued with this and put me in front of Robbie, and I was really super excited about this opportunity specifically to have a gentleman who really understands the industry and I can trust talk to our Building Fortunes Radio listening audience about what's going on with cryptocurrency. So the first thing we want to do is we'll say that we're going to do this radio show almost every Tuesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. So that's 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Tuesdays. And the reason why I say almost is because sometimes holidays or emergencies or technical challenges sometimes get in the way. But we're going to also have this on Building Fortunes Radio, too. If you do a search for the Crypto Talks Show, you'll be able to find it there. And also we'll have a guest page for Robbie Campbell, so you'll be able to find it over there. So today is our very, very first radio show of many that we'll be doing. And hopefully you'll be able to pick up on this and learn a lot and be able to help yourself in so many different ways as blockchain technology is affecting your world in ways today that you probably don't realize. And I know it's made a very big difference in our lives as well. So having said that, though, I'm going to finish my introduction in just a second to say one of the first things I realized is that I would, on the PM marketing side, accept Bitcoin as a vendor. So I went out to the very first vendor period, and that was called BitPay, and we became vendors at BitPay so we can accept Bitcoin. And I can share with you, I think we've done two, this is for the IRS, we've done two transactions, I think. And they were very small. So this is for the IRS. We did two I think they're like $25, and I've already spent that Bitcoin or did something with that Bitcoin. But the reality was is that even though we were early adopters, our Building Fortunes Radio listening audience still is not, and I don't have a lot of requests for people calling me up asking me to pay in cryptocurrency, which I wish they would, because that's the sort of stuff that really would be a great investment, and you'll see why as we do this. So, Robbie Campbell, thanks for being here. Tell us a little bit about your background. I know a little bit about it, so I'll fill it in, and we'll get through some questions on our very first radio show.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I appreciate the invite to the show and the opportunity to share with you. You really unpacked a lot there in that introduction, touched on a lot of key things, you know, and one of the things that popped out to me is one of the limitations for people getting involved in Bitcoin is it still has this, misunderstood in the sense, you know, when you talk about IRS and taxes and all these things, it has kind of the connotation or the, you know, people think of what it used to be used for in the early days, you know, the Silk Road, and you had, probably some shady characters dealing with it. The reality is it's a great tool for tracking things, you know, including money, including transactions. So there's really no way to hide from the transactions. They're fully transparent. They're on the blockchain. It's a public blockchain. Anybody can see it. So where the privacy kind of comes in is where you don't know specifically who's behind any wallet address. So while you can see the transactions, you don't know whose transactions they are. So there is some privacy in that, but I think the government will figure out how to know, maybe require you to at some point disclose your addresses, et cetera. But we get to that. I think it'll be much more widely accepted and things like that. So, I got started in crypto in 2017, and kind of like you, wasn't quite as quick a learner as you were. It took me till 2017. I had first heard about it. I was in the mortgage business, and the financial crisis had just kind of hit us. And coming out of that industry and going through a real slump, I was looking for other things. Somebody offered me some Bitcoin to learn about it, and honestly, I thought it was just video game money, and I was in no position to deal with any kind of play money. You know, I was looking for something solid that I could replace my income with. There was a big hole to fill there, moving out of that industry. And I wish I had maybe had a little bit more vision, but my focus was so in the moment and in my present, my present tense, that I think from that experience I can try to help people understand that while that, I think, is a relative experience to us all, we're just trying to get by day to day, is that this thing that's called cryptocurrency and digital assets and blockchain is revolutionizing everything we do. It is considered Internet 3.0. It's considered, dot-com 2.0. And so what that means is that there's a ton of opportunity. The good news is we're all early. The bad news is we're all early. Right? So there's still a lot of things that we're going to have to navigate through towards the future. But I see it as being the single most powerful field leveler that there possibly is. You know, it opens the doors for people really to get in that early adoption and benefit financially from it. So it's a great time because, a lot of those kinks have been kind of ironed out from usability standpoint. You know, Bitcoin has really proved itself over 12 years, which is why you're really hearing about it now, is because it's becoming more widely accepted. But, prior to a lot of the advances that we've seen in the last couple years, it was relatively difficult to transact with a Bitcoin. The wallets weren't as smooth. They weren't as usable. I mean, even smartphones weren't quite as usable, right? So it's really coming into its own. And so you're really going to see it on the payment sides of things, too. You know, it is the competition out there. You know, there's, I don't know, people really realize this. There's more than just Bitcoin and Ethereum and, a couple different exchange tokens. There are literally over 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 tokens that are just, you know, being built just on one of the platforms. So there's a lot of competition, and that drives innovation, and it drives good user experiences, and it drives payment systems where you'll actually be able to actually pay in crypto. You know, credit cards that actually pay you for your savings, and, you know, have a savings account. You generate 8, 10, 12, sometimes more percent in APY yields. So the decentralized monetary freedom and monetary aspects of it are extremely attractive as well. So, I can ramble on and on and on, and I love the concept, and I love sharing kind of what's in my head and how to look at things and, you know, how to envision, how to understand it so you can put it to work for yourself.
Absolutely. So since this is our very first radio show, and there might be some people listening in for the first time, I know you said that you were in the real estate business, but you also have an interesting background. Your phone number, this is one of the questions I wanted to ask you. Your phone number comes in from Southern California, but you said you were into ice hockey and you were an ice hockey referee. And for the life of me, I could not figure out how Southern California and ice – it would be easier to explain it than it would be to explain ice hockey and Southern California. So
right. – It's kind of a neat story. I'm sorry. Were you done?
No, yeah, I am. I'm curious.
It is. It's a neat story how I started playing ice hockey in Southern California. So I grew up in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and Minnesota's a.k.a. The state of hockey. So, I grew up playing in the backyard and out on the pond and on the creek and, you know, wherever we could get a game going. Including floor hockey and street hockey and everything else. But so I grew up in that culture. And when I moved to San Diego to actually join some close friends and relatives that were in the mortgage business out here, I felt that they could teach me something out of coming out of the tech. I was in the kind of the technology industry prior to this. And I was looking for a change. Wanted to get out of the corporate world, so I went into real estate. And the one thing that was holding me back from making the move was that I wouldn't be able to play the sport I love anymore. So I moved out here in January 2005, and I wasn't in San Diego for 6 months until my mom actually came out to visit me and see how I was doing and how I was getting set up and stuff. And we rented a car, and we just went for a drive around the city. And it was just to kind of explore. And the funniest thing is we passed a street, and I looked up at the street sign, and I kid you not, the street sign's name of the street was Ice Skate Place. And I said, no way. And I looked at my mom, and I said, Mom, I got to do a U-turn. Do you mind if we go back and do a little investigation as to what that is? And so we drove down this dead end, and in the back of the dead end, it opened up into a big parking lot, and there was the hockey rink. And it was almost like the clouds parted and the sun came out and everything was shining. And I looked at my mom and I said, I don't believe it. I said, when you get home, you got to ship my gear out here immediately, like overnight it. So I ended up joining some teams and playing out here. And it was awesome. I came to find out, actually, there is a pretty tight-knit hockey community in San Diego that actually has produced a number of professional players.
What?
So there are a couple of players that presently are playing in the NHL and or an NHL affiliate team, as well as some formers like Chris Chelios is a huge name. He's going to be, you know, American-born Hall of Famer in the NHL and has played for a number of teams. But as the hockey community refer to him, Chelly, I think, San Diego actually has a rich ice hockey history.
It's a great story because it's somewhat, you know, and it's so fun because it was your mom from Minneapolis that made that whole thing happen. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
It, That's a really great story. And for certain people, it's weird how those things happen sometimes, but it's really great that your mom was involved. You were smart enough to look up and see the sign, smart enough to be able to say, wait a minute, we're doing a U-turn, we're taking some action, you know, and that's how you found your passion all over again. And that's just an amazing story.
Yeah, and it's amazing because I was really torn about moving to California. I thought that that was the end of my career, and I did it at the age of 30. And up until then, you know, I had played all the growing up through high school, through college, and then in my adult life. And so I thought, you know what, I got to move on. I'm not going to let a sport hold me back. But in the end, as I was chasing my dreams, the hockey kind of came along with it, you know, after it was all said and done. And the cool reflection on it in that moment, too, was just the memory of being in the car with my folks that had driven me to every practice, that had taken me to every game, early in the morning, late at night, tournaments and, you know, full weekend-long tournament trips and all that kind of thing. And it all just was summed up in that one moment. It was super exciting.
And for those people that wonder whether that's chance or divine intervention, you know, regardless of your religious persuasion, there's just something magical about that story. You know, there's just something magical about that story. So I love to hear it. Yeah. So thanks for sharing that. Yeah, thanks for sharing
And it actually came back to serve me later when I got out of the mortgage business. One of the ways I had to go was I had to do a few different things to replace my income. So one of the part-time jobs that I got was as a ice hockey referee. And then I actually made that about a 12-year career now, and I've been to national tournaments for a lot of the amateur tournaments, and I've officiated in college level hockey games, school level hockey games, and then national tournaments. So it's kind of come full circle.
What a great story. Well, let's do this. We're going to take a little quick commercial break. We're going to be right back. We're going to get back to cryptocurrency, but I'd love to hear those stories because it's always important to know of, you know, who you're working with and a little bit about their background as well. So here we go.
Thanks for listening to Building Fortunes Radio. If you sell a product or service, then you should check out PMMarketingsNetworkLeads.com. Just visit www.networkleads.com. For over 18 years, PM Marketing has helped distributors build their home-based businesses through lead generation, website development, automated email delivery systems, and sales training. If you're looking for a way to increase your skills and increase the number of people that see your product or opportunity, NetworkLeads.com can help. To learn more, visit www.networkleads.com. Ask about their lead management system, capture pages, personalized websites, MLM training, Humongous Blog, the Humongous Classified Ad Network, Building Fortunes Radio, or their webinar schedule. NetworkLeads.com can be your one-stop shop for everything you need. And now, back to our show.
And we are back. Peter Ringles here with Robbie Campbell. We're talking on the Crypto Talk Show, and we're going to have this every Tuesday evening, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. It's 5:30 p.m. on the Pacific Coast where Robbie is right now, and we're going to be talking a little bit about crypto. You know, if you're kind of new to this, cryptocurrency started like a lot of other industries started. A lot of people don't realize that some of the best technology started off with some of the kind of illegal businesses, or some of the questionable businesses. You know, websites and automatic payments, a lot of that stuff started off with adult sites. I won't use the P word, but they started off with adult sites. And the Silk Road, which we made reference to a little bit earlier, was something where a gentleman named Ross Ulbricht decided that he wanted a way for people to be able to find a way to buy, you know, mushrooms and pot or any other thing that they wanted to buy between two consenting adults, and they used Bitcoin as the currency by which they got that done. So the roots of Bitcoin started off in sometimes questionable areas. So I get it why some people originally were thinking about the challenges associated with it. But, I mean, anybody still thinking there is in the – I mean, they're just not paying attention. There are so many things that are happening right now around Bitcoin and blockchain and other cryptocurrencies. So, Robbie, since we're not going to try to figure all this out in the next 10 minutes, talk to people about maybe basic definitions of Bitcoin and blockchain And then maybe we'll move into some other cryptos if we have some time. So do you want to give people an easy to kind of understand definition of those?
Yeah, absolutely. I had to kind of go through this experience myself, right? Trying to discover it, trying to determine where the value comes from, and then identify even what I'm talking about, right? So we think of digital money. You utilize it, receive it, send it, et cetera, from your computer, but your computer or your phone or whatever, it's never physically or even electronically on your device. It sits on something called the blockchain. The way that I visualize it is if you can imagine where mushrooms come from, and I don't know if anyone knows this, but there's something called the mycelium. And the mycelium is actually known as the world's largest organism. And the reason is because that mycelium, it grows underneath what's called the substrate, which is the organic material on the earth. And that mycelium grows through that organic material all out across the land. It goes through the desert. It goes over mountains. It goes through water streams. It literally spans everywhere. And so that visual for me is the blockchain. Now, that mycelium has to sit on something. It's actually getting its food source from dead and decaying material, organic material. And so it sits on that layer, right? So the mycelium is on the substrate. And with the blockchain, uses the computer internet infrastructure to sit on it. So its lifeblood is essentially the electricity in our computers, all in a decentralized way that it exists. And then I think as the crypto coins that come off of that mycelium, as a mushroom does, that's kind of how the coins relate to the blockchain, and that it's actually the fruit of the blockchain. It's also what powers the blockchain. It's also what is related to as money or as a token or a governance aspect of it for voting rights. So it plays a lot of different roles. The fruit plays a lot of different roles in our lives, but it all relies on that mycelium or that blockchain network that's sitting on all the computers that are running across the world. So like a big picture, that's kind of how I visualize it.
Yep. So it's kind of everywhere. There's a product that we have called Humongous Ad Network, and I found by coincidence there's something called the Humongous Fungus, which is a perfect example of your mycelium example. It's the largest living organism in the world, the Humongous Fungus. But that's the way it works, absolutely. So in essence, it's the internet. It can't be shut down. It'll never go away. It's all over the place. Governments can't shut it down. People can't shut it down. It's there and running forever. The horse is out of the barn, if you will. Okay, so that's the infrastructure as far as the blockchain technology. And then where did Bitcoin come from and maybe some of the other cryptocurrencies?
Yeah, so Bitcoin really was the OG, right? It was the original blockchain invention. That was created by this mythical individual by the name of Satoshi Nakamoto. And this guy, whoever it is, whether it's a guy or a group of people or who knows, some people have theories that it might even have been the government to issue in a digital currency, whatever the case, it was kind of dropped on the lap of, you know, some developers. And they followed along what's called a white paper, which is a document that, you know, basically just explains the technology, how it works, and how to, how to manifest it into code and how to program it. So that was the original, you know, the origination of Bitcoin. And then a lot of the other coins after the invention of Bitcoin did what they call a fork, which is essentially just splitting the blockchain in two. And so the blockchain is what they refer to as an immutable record of transactions. So it's one that can never be changed. Once that blockchain is written, it can never be changed. And some of the attributes is that it can't be hacked. There's a lot of value in it just by itself. So that Bitcoin blockchain started off, and then other people started their blockchains off of the original Bitcoin blockchain. You can kind of imagine a tree with branches. You know, the trunk comes up, and then it splits into two branches and goes from there. So the blockchain can essentially do the same thing, and what makes those two chains different is just their transaction history and the record of all the transactions going there, yeah.
Excellent. And we have about 2 minutes left. So, we have about 3 minutes left. So for people that want to know more about this before we run out of time, how can they get in touch with you? Do you have a website, or do you have a phone number or texting, email? How do people get in touch with you?
Yeah, we put up a site called cryptotalk.show. And right now it's just a single pager. We're going to, you know, develop that a little bit more, because what we really want to do is bring education to the people, because in the long-term view of things, it's the single, it's the single best equalizer for people to get ahead financially. So it's imperative that people aren't left behind, but it also, to drive the adoption and the transactions that you're talking about and all that stuff, is our duty, our responsibility, and our obligation, because we understand how great it is to share it with other people. They need to learn. They need to get up to speed. So we're just providing that value for free. We don't ask anything for it. We do a call four nights a week where, you know, we invite people just to listen in, and then we've got some other programs that we're doing as offshoots of that. So people can go to cryptotalk.show. And go ahead and sign up on our email form, and they'll be on our newsletter.
So just for spelling purposes, cryptotalk.show, and .show replaces the .com. So
correct.
Cryptotalk.show. So you'll be able to go there, and then we'll make sure that we have this radio show and others on buildingfortunesradio.com/cryptotalk. So we'll put that up there as well, with Robbie Campbell's name too as a guest host. So, Robbie, I want to say thanks for being here on your very first radio show. Wahoo! Great information. I love the story about your mom and the ice hockey stuff. And we'll learn more about the things that you do and the things you're working on. But for most important, for those people that are listening in, go join him on those webinars. Ask those questions away, because you're probably holding your back from some of the good fortune that you certainly deserve, and there's a lot of people taking advantage of this right now. So it's something you want to learn. Lots of other people are doing it. It's far easier than it was when I was learning in 2012, beginning part of 2013, and anybody that really wants to learn certainly can, and riches are being made. There's people that are literally just doing amazing things, learning what's going on with cryptocurrency. You can make a big difference for yourself and your family, for sure. So on that note, Robbie, thanks for being here. We're going to catch everybody
thanks
next
so much,
week.
Peter.
You're welcome on Crypto Talk Show. We'll see you next time. Thanks, everyone.
You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for our featured segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.